I read this morning as we got up, I got into the garden and sat in the sunshine, and I thought everybody was in bed, but then my son came out and he brought me my breakfast. And I thought, oh, so wonderful, you know. He brought me toast, he brought me cornflakes, and I sat in the sun and I meditated on the Lord, of his goodness and his mercy. And this morning we've sung about the favour of the Lord. We've sung about his everlasting love and his goodness. And the Lord reminded me as I sat on that seat. He said to me, Mike, when the Lord returned the captivity of Zion, they were like those who dreamed. He filled their mouths with laughter and their tongues with singing. Then the heathen said, the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things for us. And what a morning. We've come into the presence of God and we're speaking about, singing about his favor and his love. And it's real. Shall we stand together and we'll pray together and give praise to God? Oh Lord, we thank you this morning. With grateful hearts, we thank you, Lord, for the journeys that we have made individually and corporately. This is a sacrifice and redemption in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that the dream is real. We thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, are so keen to deliver and to liberate. We thank you, Lord, that you have liberated us from sin and the curse of sin in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, this morning that you specialize in deliverance and captivity. Lord, we thank you. You can bring peace where there's turmoil. You can bring deliverance and healing where there is pain. We thank you, Lord, that you minister to the children. You minister to widows. You minister to those who even died. Lord, we bless you and praise you. Let there be a new song in our hearts, we pray, as we leave and as we, Lord, go through this meeting. Let there be new words of expression, new attitudes. Lord, deliver us this morning. I pray for each and every one of us. Today, O Lord, those who might be wrestling with captivity in some way or another, insecurity, pain, isolation, loneliness. Lord, today you can break into our hearts individually and corporately. O Lord, have your way, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you, Michael. God bless you. Yep, take your seats.
Thank you, Michael. Always, you can take your seat, Margaret. Liz and Rose is going to give out some of the activity packs for the kids. So there's quite a lot going on, and Kerry's left some stuff for you to do, so you're very welcome. Let me just say a couple of things while that's happening. First of all, you'll see in kind of each block of seats, there is a set of notes. We do have a couple more if you want to take notes, want to follow along, want to write your own. And Lisa, I've left a little bit of space for you as well. Where's Lisa? She's in the back, okay. She wanted a little bit of space to write some of her own notes as well. So there's some notes for you around, and we have some extra available. Also, we can send them to you as a PDF if you let us know. We even have some pens if you don't have pens. Who doesn't like a free pen, Mike? Rose, there's a couple of people need pen. Just on that section there, there's a few pens. And also, practically to say, we know many people have their own Bibles, but if you don't have a Bible in a modern translation, then you'll see on the little table, we do have a copy of the Bible that you can have. This is the New Living Translation. It happens to be my preferred translation. simply because I'm Irish, Mike, I have to keep it simple. So this is a nice readable version in a modern translation. So if you don't have your own Bible in a modern translation, then there is some there for you. And also to say, if you have a smartphone, you can download the YouVersion Bible app, which will give you all sorts of versions, Bible reading plans, videos and everything that you can watch as well. So I would encourage you to begin to engage with God's Word whatever way you can. Some people prefer to listen, don't they? Some people prefer to watch. Some people prefer to read. The key is whatever way works for you, engage. Okay? So if you were here last week, you will notice that we began a series called From Grief to Growth. We'll be in this for several weeks, kind of getting through what we're going through. Because we all go through stuff. If you're not currently going through something, you will at some point, won't you? Because that's life. So how do we get to the point of dealing with our grief and our losses and our disappointments in life? And we've had plenty of those over the last year. How do we get through life's losses? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Bruce Feiler is a Jewish author who's written the best-selling book called Life is in the Transitions, Mastering Change at Any Age. Hands up if you like change. No, none of us like change, unless it's happening to someone else. We don't like change, but truthfully, we're going to have to get good at handling change, aren't we? We're going to have to get good because things are not going back to normal. Whatever happens from here on in, there's some things in life that are just going to be a bit more complicated. Philip and I are talking about a trip to Nigeria in September, and it's already complicated, and we don't know exactly how things are going to work out, and there's a few things we're going to have to overcome to do that because we want to do that. But Bruce Feiler interviewed a lot of people, and he began to listen to their life stories, and he began to notice a pattern of what was happening. And the pattern was that how we think life should unfold is rarely what happens. How we think life should unfold rarely is what happens. And so we get quite anxious because the things we'd planned for, maybe even the things we've paid for, we had to cancel our holiday last year, our 30th wedding anniversary, the only time that we'd kind of wanted to go away at our wedding anniversary, and we had to cancel it. So there's lots of change, there's lots of transition, and that can bring a lot of anxiety into our life, can't it? Because when we expect something and we have to navigate something that isn't what we've planned, it can be a challenge to us. And in this particular book, he talks about a transition toolkit. He talks about things that we need to do in order to accept change and embrace it and go through it. And I want to give you a transition toolkit, not from his book, but from the Bible. So if you happen to have your Bible with you, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Because I think we need something that's clear for us. I think we need something that gives us a structure rather than just listening to the stuff that's posted on YouTube. There's a lot of good stuff on there. But we want something solid as wisdom, don't we? So let's see what the Bible says to us. So this is early church leader Paul, writing to a church he knew very well. He'd written 4 letters. We have 2. He had a bit of a tumultuous relationship with them. He had planned to go and be with them, but there was a change. He couldn't go. And then some people are criticizing him. And then some people came in and tried, false teachers, and tried to say, you know, Paul isn't that impressive, you know. Some people think he had a hooked nose, knocked knees, and maybe was challenged in the follicle department then. So he wasn't an impressive character. But he talks about what he went through in order to preach the gospel. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The heading of my Bible is God offers comfort to all. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles, all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comforts through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. Another version says, for we know, and we'll come back to that idea. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the troubles we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you're helping us by praying for us. Then many will give thanks to God because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. I want to suggest three simple things. You'll see them if you have them in your notes. That we can get through life's sorrows in peace because we know we can be comforted. Isn't that a great thought? That we can receive God's comfort. And God's work in that is not just for us. It's not about me, myself, and Irene, as Jim Carrey said. It's not about us per se. The work sometimes God wants to do in us is beyond us. It's for other people. And when we don't respond to that, we can actually stunt other people's growth because we're not responding to God. So God's work in you is not simply for you. But we know there's challenges. According to the research by the Prince's Trust, in the last 15, 16 months, one in four young people feel unable to cope with life since the start of the pandemic. One in four of our young people are struggling, and we know mental health is a massive issue. The same survey said that nearly 66% of children aged 10, 11 say they worry all the time. That's our kids, folks. That's our grandchildren, worried about what's happening, anxious about the future. And here's a startling statistic for modern Britain. One in five children in the UK face food insecurity. They're not going to know if they're going to have enough food this week. That's incredibly troubling, isn't it? That's incredibly worrying. That's the reality of what people are facing. That's part of the sorrow. That's part of the trouble that people are facing. But we can experience God's presence. God has promises for us. Not that we won't face trouble. Not that there won't be challenges in life, because it's life and we live in a fallen, broken world. And truthfully, some people are selfish, aren't they? Remember the whole loo roll stuff? Huh? People bulk buying and then selling it on the internet and stuff like that. That was craziness, wasn't it? People just thinking of themselves. But Paul comes and says, you know, even in the midst of your troubles, it's not simply about you. It's what God wants to do through you. And God's promise is this, that when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you. Sometimes we think our problems are all consuming, don't we? We get locked into our circumstances. We get locked into our world. And we think they're going to overwhelm us and consume us. And God comes to us and says, listen, just relax for a minute, will you? Just relax. I will be with you through it. Remember what Kerry said last week in the bear hunt story? You can't go over it. You can't go round it. You have to go. Well done, you were listening. I'll check next week if you're listening to me. Some stuff you have to go through. But the promise is we can know God's presence and God's comfort in it. And you may say, well, that's easy for you to say. Well, it's not actually. But let's take a Bible example. A guy called David. David was the king. The Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart. He was flawed, but he was a man after God's own heart because of his desire for worship and his honesty. And one of the times his father-in-law was chasing him, because there was more than one, wanting to kill him because his father-in-law Saul was jealous of his popularity. They were singing songs about David, and they used to sing songs about Saul. And at one stage, he tried to throw a javelin to kill him, and David has to flee a number of times into the desert. And yet, he comes back to God, and in one of the occasions when he's delivered, this is what he said, Psalm 18, the reference is on there for you. When David got delivered from his father, for who is God besides the Lord? And who is our rock except God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. God is our rock. It's not our bank balance. It's not our job. It's not the economy. It's not our health. All of those things we know are very fragile and can be taken away from us. It's God who is our rock, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of uncertainty. And I know some of you are caught between a rock and a hard place in your circumstances. I know some of you may be facing some in-laws that are challenging in your life. But we can still turn to God. And even if we cry in tears, God is with us. The kids recorded something based on Psalm 56, verse 8 this week. And Psalm 56 says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected my tears in your bottle. It's not a wonderful thought that even the tears that we cry, God knows. Thank you, Philip. Play that video.
There was a little bottle at Past Heaven's Gate. It had a crystal stopper and gorgeous ruby plates. Contained in all its ember, behind the beauty and the shine, is all the pain we suffered from the past to present time.
Every time we've cried, every time we fell, all tears from our eyes, that bottle holds them well.
For every broken heart we've had, tears on our fiddles wept. All of the broken promises that beautiful bottle has kept.
For our unseen failures, for our hidden faults, when we have felt forgotten, the tears were always caught.
For our precious Jesus, he says he loves us so, and even though we felt alone, this is what we know.
Our El Shaddai home. Every tear sheds over time. And every time he sees me cry, his own tears mix with mine.
Not just a little poem makes you go, doesn't it make you go, I heard you, Amelia. It's the truth of Scripture that God sees our sorrows, he sees our tears, and he wants to bring us his comfort. Second point is that we can get through life's sorrows and joy because we can endure. This is Paul writing again in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. We know. I want you to see that repeated pattern throughout Scripture. We know. That's what Paul's saying. Not we feel, not we had a goosebump moment, not kind of someone said once or we've been on YouTube. Bev is telling me so many of her families and the kids, what they want to be when they grow up is YouTubers. That was never a career choice when you were growing up, Mike, huh? The Tinternet wasn't even around when you were growing up, Mike, huh? We can endure because God loves us. Because God is wanting to do a work in us. He's poured in his love in our hearts. And I think that's so important for us to really embrace that. Not simply in our feelings, though we need to acknowledge them honestly before God, but just not depend on them for reality. Because sometimes our feelings are up and down, aren't they? Sometimes our feelings are all over the place. We need to acknowledge them, but we don't rely on them to give us security. I played a video last week of Dr. Henry Cloud. Some of you may remember that. It's on the stream if you didn't see it. And Henry Cloud wrote a book called Necessary Endings. And in a book, he talks about embracing the grief. If anyone wants to borrow that at some point, I think it's in my library somewhere. And he says this, that sorrow can come from endings in our life. And over the last year, we may have had many different types of endings. Some physical, some emotional, some career, some family. All sorts of endings that we've had. And sorrow can come for those, can't they? Sorrow can come and we have to honestly acknowledge them. But he says that we have to come and look at our experience and kind of break it apart. And he says, firstly, look what was good about it. Look what was good maybe about the relationship or what we learned in that or the new skills that we attained or maybe the example that we saw of when someone wasn't selfish or when they did serve. Maybe we gained new knowledge and new strengths. And certainly in the last year, we've learned a lot about resilience, haven't we? Are we just having, remember as a kid having to stand on the pedals of your bike to get up that hill? Sometimes we just have to stand on the pedals and endure. And he talks about those times, taking all the good from it and consciously remembering it, building on it, focusing on it so it's not lost. But the reverse is also true. On the negative side, there are some things that we need to eliminate from our life. There's some things that we saw, some things that we did, some things that we had done to us, and perhaps we still carry the shrapnel of that battle. Don, ask him to tell you the story, still has a bullet in him from an old war wound. Sometimes if you need sympathy, you know, you'll see him. No, I'm only joking. If any of you are fools and horses, you'll know about Albert's war wounds. You don't hear him said often, but ask him the story and he may say, during the war, because he has a bullet in him. He has shrapnel, and we may have picked up shrapnel in our lives from way back, stuff that we have not processed. And on your notes, there's a few questions. The first one is a tough one. You're going to have to be brave to answer it honestly. But we're going to have to maybe get rid of some of those things. Maybe we realized some weaknesses that come up in the last year. Maybe the lockdown brought some stuff to the surface that we didn't realize was there. Whatever happened to us that was negative, we can take the wisdom from it, we can learn from it, and eliminate it from our life. But here's the thing, if we don't deal with it, we're going to end up going round in circles. If we don't deal with it, it will still be there. And maybe it'll lead us to trust the wrong person. Maybe it'll lead us to be impulsive. Maybe it'll lead us to have a moment of emotion that overflows and make a decision that's not helpful or healthy to us. Maybe we'll end up with the same blind spots. You know what? We have to do something with it. Henry Cloud will show this clip in a minute. Let me read this to you. It's in your notes. The pain, the bitterness, the feelings of failure, loss and grief, and the resentment that comes with it all need to be eliminated and left behind. But left behind consciously as opposed to just denied and forgotten. That's a challenge, isn't it? Because sometimes we just want to deny stuff. Sometimes we just want to say, oh, it doesn't really matter. But maybe it does. Maybe we need to actually consciously deal with it consciously rather than just saying, oh, it doesn't matter. Let's forget about it. We all have bad days. We all have good days. We all have bad days sometimes. Some of you will remember the little puppet Birdie. We're going to see a little sketch from Birdie that Grace recorded for us. Birdie's having a bad day, so he needs some sympathy, Amelia. So let's see, kids, you can watch this as well. Some of you will remember Birdie from some of our streams online. So thank you, Philip. Play the video.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
I'm okay.
Only okay? That's not like you. What's up?
I'm so embarrassed.
Embarrassed? Why is that?
I can't tell you.
Why?
Well, nothing's going to make me feel better anyhow.
Not even a cupcake?
Nope.
How about a trip to the park with an ice cream thrown in?
Nope.
A hug?
Ugh, definitely not.
Okay, now I'm really worried. Is there anything I can do to help?
Yes, I want to be homeschooled forever.
Homeschooled? You must be joking. Remember how hard it was during lockdown, and you told me that I was the worst teacher ever.
You were, but anything would be better than going back to school.
I'm sure it's not as bad. What happened?
I cried.
You cried?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I was late getting up, and then I forgot it was non-uniform day, and I was the only one dressed, not dressed up, of course. Then I fell over in PE and everyone laughed. Then Jack wouldn't play with me at playtime. Then I got a question wrong in maths and I tried so hard, but I couldn't stop myself when I cried. Everyone stared at me.
That sounds like a real tough morning. I'm not surprised you cried. What happened then?
My teacher let me go for a walk with Betty. She let me cry a bit and then cheered me up. But I was so embarrassed, I kept away from everyone all day, and I wish those silly tears had never come.
Tears aren't silly, Betty.
Yes, they are. I don't know why God invented tears. They're a mistake, just like wasps. I'm never going to cry again.
That would be a real shame, because tears are actually very important.
Why is that?
Well, firstly, they're a way of communicating.
What do you mean?
Well, tears shows others that something is wrong.
Yes, they showed that I'm a big baby.
Not at all. Adults cry too. And if you hadn't cried, your teacher wouldn't have known it was something wrong, and Betty wouldn't have been able to cheer you up.
I guess so.
And the tears are healing because you let out the emotions and they make you feel better?
Well, it did make me feel better. It didn't change anything that happened, but I didn't feel as bad about it at all.
So the tears weren't silly. They were important.
I guess so.
So do you still want to be homeschooled?
No, I don't. You're much stricter than Mr. Evans and nowhere near as funny.
Thanks. Now I feel like I'm going to cry. You going to give me a hug?
Yeah. Got to rush. Bye.
We're thinking of using that in our pastoral team training as an example. Thank you, Grace. Well done. I thought you were very sensitive handling Bertie there. We all have bad days, but as Amelia read earlier, there may be sorrow in the night, but God can bring joy in the morning. We can allow him, and we may need to endure in that. Third, final point is we can get through life's sorrows and hope because we know it's not the end. It's not the end. Paul writes a number of times about these things. When we often suffer, but we're never crushed. That was our first song. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we're knocked down, we get up again because we know God raised the Lord back to life. And just as he raised Jesus, he will also raise us back to life and bring us into his presence together. 1 Corinthians 15:43, our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They're buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So we don't focus on our troubles, what we see right now. Instead, we look forward to what we don't yet see. For the troubles we see are temporary, but the joys to come will last forever. And one final one from the book of Revelation. Promise of God, then God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. Isn't that just great hope? Isn't that just a solid foundation to build our life on? Because it does seem all-consuming, because it does seem that will this never end, but God has a different perspective. One of the verses Bev and I were talking about over the weekend was that verse where it says, God has set eternity in our hearts. There is an eternal perspective. This isn't all there is. This body the Bible describes is just a tent. Some of the tent needs repaired. Some of the cords may need tightened. Yeah, I heard a few moans and groans there. But truthfully, it's not all there is. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have an eternal perspective. That's the hope that we can have. So how do we survive life's sorrows? I think there's a couple of practical things. I think firstly, we need to connect to others. Proverbs says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know what? We just need other people at times. We need to connect to other people. And that's been one of the biggest challenges during lockdown, isn't it? But don't stay in a lockdown mentality. You don't have to live a lockdown life. And because of technology even, we can do so much. Don't live a lockdown mentality. Don't stay in that environment. We need other people. Find people who can support you and who will support you. Ecclesiastes 4 is written by Solomon, sought to be the wisest man. Two can accomplish more than twice as much as one. If one falls down, the others can pull him up. But if a man falls when he is alone, he's in trouble. One person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And having three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We just need that connection with other people, isn't it? And so I want to encourage you, even in church, build relationships with other people. Get to know people. I know some of you are having others round for lunch today. We weren't invited, Bev, but that's okay. We'll forgive them, not looking at anyone. We'll forgive you. Because one of the things we are doing today is afterwards, we're going to have a picnic lunch. We put it out on social media. Those who want to are just going to stay. We're going to sit in the garden. It's a beautiful day. We're just going to have a picnic together, those that have brought some food to do that. Because those connections are important, isn't it? Getting to know one another, finding that support and that encouragement that comes. A couple of other things that we're doing. I'm not sure I have a slide on this one, but yes. Men, if you fancy coming to the driving range with me on Thursday night, we're actually going to go 7:30, so rather than 7. 7:30 this night. I must warn you, for those who haven't played any sports with me, I'm quite competitive. So I never let my kids win, Oscar. So I'm not going to let any of you win. But guys, if you fancy, because you have to learn to lose. It's a life lesson, isn't it? No, she said, no, you're too soft. So guys, if you want to join me at Tilgate Driving Range, I'll have the golf clubs. Just bring yourself and a few quid that we get some balls. So guys, it's good for men to connect together as well, isn't it? We really need to do that. Build relationship with one another. We're having a fun day coming up for all the family. God willing, providing they let us out to play. On Sunday the 18th, after church service, we're going to go up to Creasy's Drive, the adventure area. We're going to hire that out for us as a church. We'll all just be able to come. Have a game of pool. There'll be adventure playground. Some of you have been there. You'll know that. We'll bring our lunch. There's a tuck shop and all facilities there as well. So we're going to do that in July as well. Bev's going to do something with the ladies. Probably after the summer. Fits in well with this theme in terms of being emotionally healthy. But Michelle also had an idea of a cream tea and a cuptic tea. So Michelle's going to organise that. We'll talk about that. It could even be one Sunday after lunch. Lidl do amazing cupcakes. Did you know that? Some of you do, yeah. They do amazing cupcakes. Rose also does amazing cupcakes. But we're not going to put pressure on her. So ladies, watch out for that. Kind of a little bit of a cream tea or a cupcake Sunday. We'll try and pick it when guys, maybe we'll put the football on the big screen. Does that sound like a plan for... I'm overwhelmed by your enthusiasm for that. Ladies, do you want a cupcake Sunday or not? Yeah. Men, do we want to watch the football while they're doing that? Yeah. They want the cupcakes, do you? No, we'll do a sneaky barbecue while the ladies. We'll do a sneaky barbecue, guys. Don't worry about it. We need to connect to other people. It's so important that we do that. And I want to encourage you, take the opportunity to do that. But we also need to connect to God. That He is our rock. He is the foundation. Because we can't be there for you 24/7. We can't. Only God can. When Paul was facing desertion by some of his friends, he said, at my first offense, no one came to help me. No one. No one was there for him. But he said, the Lord stood by my side so that through me the gospel might be fully proclaimed. 2 Timothy 4:17. Paul knew at the end of the day, God was his rock. God was his security. He could call on him and God would be there for him. We mentioned a guy called Jeremiah last week. We'll talk more about him next week. He had a list of complaints before God. But this is what he said. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit. Because they're planted, because they have a source of nourishment, because they're connected. You see, a crisis doesn't make or break you. It doesn't. It simply shows what was already in there. And one of the things I think the COVID crisis has exposed is the superficiality of some people's spirituality. Truthfully, it has exposed it. But God wants us to connect to Him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says this. Live in vital union with Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth. Connect to others, but we also need to connect to God. So how can we respond? How can we respond? I heard a story this week that I'm going to share that might help us just see where we need a course correction in our life. Maybe it's nothing major. Maybe it's just a little bit of a drift that's happened in our life that we need to just come back to true north. James Irwin was an astronaut and he said this, you might think that going to the moon was the most scientific project ever undertaken. He said, they literally threw us in the direction of the moon. He said, we had to adjust our course every 10 minutes. And we landed only 50 feet inside the 500-mile radius of our target. Every 10 minutes, they had to make course corrections. In fact, when they first landed on the moon, our average smartphone has more technology in it than got them to the moon. But he needed that course correction every 10 minutes. And I want to ask you, is there anywhere where you need a course correction in your life? From what you've heard today, is there anywhere that you need a course correction? On the back of your notes, there's a few reflection questions. The first one, I think, is a tough one. You're going to have to be brave to pray it and answer it. But maybe sometime today or sometime this week you can do it. And ask God, is there a wound or an ungrieved loss in my life right now? You don't have to go digging with a spade. But just come before God and say, God, is there a wound? Is there a grief? Is there a loss in my life right now that's unresolved? And I guarantee you that if you're open to God, that He may bring something up that He wants to deal with in your life. Because I know that God wants to reshape us in this time of transition. Are we willing to let our life be shaped? Are we willing to allow God to work in our life? We're going to pray and then we're going to close the stream. Father, we thank You for the truth of your word. We thank you that you do see all our tears. As the kids' poem showed us today, and we're reminded from the scripture, you do see our sorrows, you do see our grief, you do see our loss. And just as Paul said, he didn't want his brothers and sisters in Christ to be ignorant, then you want us to honestly acknowledge before you the griefs and the losses, that we can connect with others, that we can connect with you. Help us to have the courage today to do that. We pray this in the name of Jesus.